Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Our aim is to encourage you in the Word of God and to bring Pastor's anointed teaching and to show you the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Let us know how the Lord is using this program to bless you. We pray that you will draw nearer to the Lord through Pastor's teaching and preaching, and that you will build up in the body of Christ. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We appreciate the opportunity to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. To learn more about His Will Ministry, visit us on the World Wide Web at HisWillMinistry.org.
This evening's program is titled, Where Will You Be When It All Ends? I guess this is brought about by a dear friend of ours, Loopy, who passed away, and we buried her last Thursday. That's one of the unpleasant duties, or in the case of Christians, sometimes the pleasant duty for a pastor, is burying someone very dear to him, someone dear to his heart. We watched Loopy go from a vibrant human being to sick all of a sudden. It was a very quick change for her. And in the hospital when they operated on her about a year and a half ago, she died. And I happened to be there the next morning praying with her. And when she woke up, I asked her, what, Loopy, would you like me to pray for? And she said, pray that I go home. Pray that he takes me now. And I said, Loopy, you have family and friends. And she said, no, you don't understand. I saw my Jesus. I saw my Jesus last night, and he had his arms open to me, calling me, and they brought me back. And you know, from that day forth, Loopy would rally a little bit for her husband, and she would do well. And then I think she would remember that time where she saw the Lord, and she would go back to just giving up. And finally, at the end, she just got weaker and weaker and weaker, but she just refused to let go. And the day she died, her husband called her up and said, Loopy, I release you in the name of Jesus Christ to go home. He told her he loved her, and then he hung up the phone and he called me and said, Pastor Jay, please call Loopy and tell her you release her to go home. Before I could dial the number back to talk to her, she had gone. And those that were with her at that moment that she passed said her last words were, I see him, and he's so beautiful. I see him. Loopy died a very peaceful death. She died with a smile on her face, knowing where she was going. And that's the point of tonight's program. When it's all over, where will you be? See, as a pastor, it's a glorious thing to do a funeral of someone that's died in Christ. Because we know where they are. They're in Christ's arms. They've gone forward. They've gone on to somewhere better. No more pain, no more sorrow. They're in eternity, eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a pastor, when you have to do a funeral for someone you know was not saved, that's so hard. Because there's no more time for that person. There's no second chance. There's no way to change their minds for Jesus, because it's too late. And I guess that's where I'm asking you tonight. Do you know when it's all over where you will be? Are you sure beyond sure? Loopy was sure. Loopy was so sure that she saw Jesus. Loopy was so sure she couldn't wait to go be with Jesus. She was not afraid of death. The only thing that kept her was she knew her husband was sicker than she was. She knew her husband would not be able to continue. And yet Jesus has given him the ability and he has rallied. Bob is doing great. Bob and I talk each day and he's doing much better now. And the reason he's doing better is because he knows where his darling Loopy is. But it's interesting how when we lose a loved one to Jesus, it changes our resolve. Bob's always been a gruff character. And if you just meet him on the surface, you would question his love of Jesus and his salvation. But as you get to know Bob and pray with him and talk to him, you know that there is such a deep love of Jesus there. He loves his Lord. In fact, he even had to repent of loving his wife more than his Lord. But he loves Jesus. But what the death of his wife has done is put a resolve in Bob to work that much harder for Jesus, to tell that many more people for Jesus, to do his best work for Jesus, because Bob knows where Loopy is, and Bob wants to make sure he gets there. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, he said, "I am the resurrection, the life. Who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives, believes in me, shall never die." Do you believe this? Now, Jesus here was talking about, of course, two different things. Because the first time he says, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives, believes in me, shall never die." Do you believe this? This is twofold. As always with Jesus, he spoke in parables, and he also spoke in realms that you and I couldn't understand unless we study the Word and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. But he is the resurrection and the life, and he is telling these that he's speaking with that whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Well, that's the state of Loopy right now. Loopy, her body is underground, buried in a coffin. Her body is dead and useless. But Loopy lives. Loopy is more alive at this moment than any one of us walking the face of this earth shall ever be until we die and go to be with Jesus. And he goes on in verse 26, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? See, there he's talking about the spiritual death. See, in our world that we live in, the one we walk in, the one we breathe in, the one we enjoy the sunrises and sunsets in, it's a very temporal world. It's a very short world in the grand scheme of eternity. If you look at what we're told in the Bible, twice a day is of 1,000 years to God, our lives aren't very long. Our lives are less than a few hours in God's day. But to us, if we live our 70 years, Loopy lives 76, that's a long, fruitful life. But to God, it's not even a half a day, or a quarter of a day, or an eighth of a day. And this is what Jesus was saying, is that if we live in Him, we walk in Him, we are part of Him, we shall never die. Oh yes, this old body will die. This old body will decay. But it also tells us the dead shall rise when the Lord returns. Well, let's look in John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to me except through the Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And now on you know him and have seen him." The part I like there is, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. See, I don't know where you stand in your Christianity, but I know that none of us are good enough to get to heaven. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how kind you are, how many little old ladies you help, how many soup lines you work in. Whatever you are, you do, you're not good enough to get to heaven. Paul said, "For all have fallen short of the glory of God." We have all fallen short of the glory of God. None of us on our own righteousness can get to heaven. Paul said, "Our righteousness is as if it's stinky, dirty, rotten rags to God." No matter how good you are, if you don't have Jesus, if you don't accept Jesus, if you don't follow Jesus, you won't be in heaven. There's no other answer but Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except for me, except through me, except by me, except with me, however you want to say it. It comes down to where the rubber meets the road, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and if you're not willing to accept His words and His ways and His will for your life, then you're going to wake up one day after death in trouble. There is no such thing as an easy way. Jesus Himself said, the way is wide and straight to hell. The way is narrow and hard to find to heaven. We have to think about this. Our lives, in the grand scheme of things, are very short. Lupi's life, even though she lived to 76 years, was very short, and she did what she could do to reach people for Jesus. Lupi didn't have the most beautiful voice in the world, but I'll tell you what, when that woman sang, the Holy Spirit spoke through her. You could sit down and talk to her, and she could tell you hour upon hour of miracles and things that God had done in her life because she followed Him, because she loved Jesus with all her heart, all her soul, all her might, and all that she was. And that's what we have to be. Jesus said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." Are you walking with the Lord tonight? Are you going with the Lord tonight? Are you following the Lord, what the Lord wants for you tonight? Where is your life? Because we have to remember, we have to get it through our thick skulls that no matter what we do, it isn't going to get us there. I love, as one pastor I respect says, "I don't care whether you believe in hell, God does, and you're going if you don't accept Jesus." That's the black and white of it. Jesus told us that our God was the God of the living. If we look in Mark chapter 12, verse 26, "But concerning the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living.'" Moses was alive when this was spoken to him. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their bodies had been buried many years before. But God didn't say, "I am the God of the dead." He said, "I am the God of the living." Look at the Transfiguration. What do you see in the Transfiguration that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke? You see not only Jesus, but you see Moses, and you see who else? Elijah. The God of the living. They were long past, but yet they were standing there talking with Jesus. God is the God of the living, and the reason He says that is because if we accept Jesus, He is the way, the life, the truth. And there is no other way to God except through Him, we will have eternal life. And if you're saved, and you're not telling your brother about Jesus, think about what a disservice you are doing. Now, think about it. You know, you run across people every day I'll never be able to reach. This radio program, I have no idea how many people listen and reach it. I know it goes all around the world. But you, when you hear this program about Jesus Christ, and you don't take that message to someone else, you're doing them a disservice. If Jesus has come into your life and has made your life beautiful, has saved you, has given you eternal life, has given you joy unspeakable, has given you life more abundantly, and you're not telling the person that's sitting in the cubicle next to you, you're not telling your next door neighbor, you're not telling the person that checks you out at the grocery store, you're not telling the postman that delivers your mail, you're not telling the milkman, what is wrong with this picture? Do you love Jesus or not? It comes down to, when it's all over, where will you be? When it's all over, at the end, past Armageddon, to the final judgment day, every one of us is going to stand in front of Jesus, and that book of life is going to be opened. And He's going to flip through those pages. And in those pages is going to be your name. And on those pages are going to be your life and what you did and where you went. Now, I always like to say God invented whiteout before man did. Jesus tells us in the book of Revelation, He's speaking to the churches. He tells them to repent so their names won't be blotted out of the book of life. Do you get that? You can't be blotted out of something if you're not already in it. If somebody's preaching to you, once saved, always saved, recite John 3:16, and buddy, you're saved, put your hand on the TV screen or on your monitor of your computer and say, Jesus, I love you, listen to this prayer and recite it after me, you're saved, you never have to do anything else. Go to the back of the book, read the seven churches. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and you will see Jesus says, repent, or you will be blotted out of the book of life. You can't be blotted out if you're not there. Try it. Take some white out on a blank piece of paper. You're not blotting anything out until you put something on that piece of paper, are you? It's a hard teaching, but people don't like it. What did Jesus say? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall follow. But He was talking about material things. But you can't get on your knees and pray for God to help you in this world, in this material realm, if you're not first seeking God, if you're not on your knees communicating with God and seeking a closer relationship with Him and His Son, you can't expect Him to help you. Because you're not doing what He's told us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. You know, there's a lot of people out there that like to preach there's no such thing as hell. There's no such thing as damnation. There's no such thing as torment. Well, let's just look at Luke chapter 16. We'll start in verse 19. And there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple, fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and was buried. And being in torments of Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. Besides all this, between us there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor those from you to us. And then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. I have five brothers, and he may testify to them, lest they will come to this place of torment. And Moses said to them, they have Moses and the prophets. Let him hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one that rises from the dead. Now, you'll get all kinds of teachings on this. You'll get people that'll tell you, see, rich men go straight to hell, poor people go straight to heaven, on and on and on. That is not the point of this whole teaching of Jesus. The point of Jesus' teaching was, if these people, which were the Jews and the Pharisees, would not have listened to the prophets foretold Jesus' birth and everything about him, if they would not listen to him, they weren't going to listen to someone raised from the dead, i.e. Jesus. But the point here is, what happened to the rich man who would not listen to the law, who would not follow the teachings of God? He ended up in hell. He didn't go to some little resting place for eternity until the judgment day, then be raised up and stand before God to be judged. He died instantly, woke up in hell. Lazarus died instantly, woke up in the bosom of Abraham. You don't have Jesus, you die, you're in hell. That's what the Bible says. It's right here. Right here. Being in torment in Hades. He cried, let him dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented by this flame. You and I may not have a tomorrow. We may not have a tomorrow. I don't know if you ever thought about that. We get so used to living in this life, so used to getting up in the morning, so used to going to our work, so used to our play, so used to everything we do, that death seems so far away. But death is a blink of an eye away. When your time is gone, your time is gone. I've seen 21-year-old men in perfect health turn around and die of a massive heart attack with no previous symptoms. And I've seen 80-year-old people just suddenly die because they were tired and gave up, yet they weren't in bad health. But death has no grip on you and I that follow Jesus. Death has no grip on those that wear the name of Christ. Our physical bodies may die, but the moment after we close our eyes, we will wake up with Jesus in heaven. Or we will wake up in hell and torment forever. The choice is yours. John 3:16 and on says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. When it's all over, where will you be? Are you sure? Get into the Scriptures and search it. This last week was a joyous time for me because I buried a Christian friend. I presided at those services. I sang her favorite song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. She knew what that was. That name represents the Son of God and the Savior of this world. If you know Jesus tonight, and Jesus is in your heart, and you love him with all your worth, then go out and start telling the other people around you. Let them know. You don't have to preach to them. You don't have to beat them over the head with the Bible. All you have to do is tell them what Jesus has done for you. Yeah, they'll think you're a little strange. They'll look at you with that, you're a religious fanatic look. But you've done what Jesus asked you to do. What did he say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, who lived, died, was buried, and resurrected, so that you and I can have eternal life.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that he has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.